Take your Bibles and you open them with me to the book of 1 Timothy this morning. We're going to get there eventually. 1 Timothy chapter number... Actually, I'm going to try to get you through the whole book this morning. Preacher didn't give me a time limit this morning. I got about 10 pages of notes, so I just figured... I'm just kidding. No, before I forget, I want to thank you guys for your Christmas offering as well. That turned into a tremendous blessing. Met a need we didn't even know we were going to have. We just left South Africa 3 weeks ago. And we all had to get coronavirus tests and things, and so that went to that provided for those coronavirus tests. It ended up being about $100 a person, even for that little one over there in South Africa. So your offering was a blessing. Thank you so very much, and just thank you. I just can't thank you enough for the opportunity to serve and represent you guys there in South Africa. We serve and represent our King, but. We're extensions of the churches that support us this side. That is fruit that will abound to your account. What you saw there is one church is 5 years old, but that church is beginning to start other churches now. It's a little slower process than we expected. We had hoped to begin other churches a lot sooner, but with the spiritual state of the people and the physical the mental state of the people, as far as we've had to teach them how to read, it's a lot different. The expectations were up here, of course. The God of Heaven is meeting those expectations just slower than we expected. But you saw there at the end, I want to ask you to pray for that as well. It's Slovo Baptist Church. It's not really a church just yet. It's a Bible study. But we, during the COVID crisis, we started small groups because we couldn't go out, we couldn't have church. And as a result, that Bible study, and Lord willing, today, this afternoon, actually, maybe right now as we speak, they're about to have their first little service there at Slovo. In Slovo, they've been meeting. We've been meeting since the beginning of COVID. But I ask that you pray for that. There's a whole family, which is not heard of, by the way. Within the locations, there are no families. The family structure is completely gone. The only families we have in our churches are the pastors. Literally, the pastors, and this is the first family in our church, family unit, father, mother, and two children, and a brother-in-law, actually, that live in this area, and they're on fire for the Lord. Pray for them, pray for them, and then they've gotten about 15 young guys, teenage boys around, and so the guys that you saw in this video, Holisidama and Likaya, Mabomba, our adopted son there in South Africa, they're going in there. They're doing a circuit. They've been doing a circuit riding ministry. So they go in there and they preach and they teach the Word of God. So I just ask that you pray for Slovo Baptist Church as well. Over in Philippians, 1 Timothy, right here in this book, I'm going to try to get through this whole book. Chapter 1, we're going to really focus on chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter number 6. But go with me very quickly. It's very important that we understand the purpose for the book. And God doesn't leave us ignorant in His books. I love it. You may not have ever heard this. I heard one preacher say it like this. You know, if you're going to hide keys to your house so somebody can come into your house, where are you going to hide them? Where are you going to put them? You're going to put them near the front door or near the back door? Well, the God of Heaven has put a key at the front door and the back door of this book to help you understand the purpose of this book. And we can find it in chapter number 6 and verse number 12. And then we can find it also in chapter number 1. But go to chapter number 6, verse number 12, and then we're going to go back over to chapter number 1. And then we're going to pray that the God of Heaven blesses this time in His Word. Chapter number 6, verse number 12, the Bible says this. Actually, start up in verse number 11. But thou, O man of God... This book is addressed, of course, to a man of God, the men of God. This is a pastoral epistle. O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And verse number 12, fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast performed a good, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now go over to chapter number 1 very quickly, and you're going to see something similar. This book's about a good fight. Chapter number 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. It's about a fight. The Apostle Paul has left Timothy in this church at Ephesus, and it's a fight. Brethren, we got to remember, we're in a fight. And there's a good fight. There's lots of fights, but there is a good fight. And I want to talk to you just briefly today about the good fight and about staying in the good fight and what this good fight consists of. But before I do that, I want to ask the Lord's blessings upon our time. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to be here with this church. Thank you for Central Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor. Thank you for the hearts of these people. Thank you for how they've blessed us. Lord, I pray that the words I speak would be a blessing now. I pray that you would use me to encourage your people, Lord, to stay in the good fight. To remember the fight, it's a good fight. You've given us a good purpose to live for. You're a good God. We don't deserve to serve you, but you have blessed us more than we could ever imagine. Oh, we're so many times focused on the circumstances of life, God, but you're good, and you're merciful, and you're gracious, and we don't deserve to serve you, Lord. This morning we come in here and we want to lift you up. We want to lift the truth up. This is the pillar and ground of truth. Your church, God. And Lord, we pray that we lift Jesus up in all that's said and done. You say you'll save people. If there's someone in our presence this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, somebody that's hearing through social media of some sort about Jesus for the first time, God, I pray that you would give them faith to believe. I pray, dear God, that you would use the words to give life and give salvation to someone. And for the rest of us, Lord, that are your people, I pray, God, that you'd help encourage us to stay in this good fight. I ask these things in Christ's name and for His honor, for His glory. Amen. So this church here at Ephesus, I'm going to give you just a backdrop, just a little bit, so you can understand. Paul is left in chapter number 1, verse number 3. Paul's left Timothy at this church. You can see that. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. So the Apostle Paul is the author of this book, and he's left his son in the faith there at Ephesus. And Timothy's younger. He tells him to be an example in his youth in this book. And undoubtedly what has happened is Timothy is probably, as most young ministers do, have gotten in over his head. He stepped out by faith and he said, God, you can use me. And he's gotten in over his head and he's a little discouraged. And the God of heaven looks down and he sees his condition. And the God of heaven loves Timothy. And through the hand of the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter to encourage Timothy to stay in the good fight. He's writing this letter to Timothy to stay in the good fight. There's a good fight. And I want to remind you, though, this morning, for every good thing God has created, Satan has about a gazillion counterfeits. He has many, many counterfeits. And his counterfeits are attractive. And we got to be careful. And this morning, I want to put you in remembrance of things. I just want to be a good minister, in all honesty. Paul said to Timothy in chapter number 4, verse number 6, if you want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, put this church at Ephesus in remembrance of these things. Whether I'm in South Africa, whether I'm in South Florida or North Florida, I want to be considered a good minister of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I want to put you in remembrance. I'm not going to tell you anything new today. I'm going to put you in. You have a good godly pastor who invests in your life, and you've probably grown up under the sound of the gospel, many of you maybe. And I just want to put you in remembrance of some things. There's a good fight. But Satan, there are many counterfeits. He's masterful at counterfeits. I remember when we worked in South America, in Peru, we'd always have groups come down. We'd have them in South Africa as well. You're welcome to come on one of these missions trips with us sometime. We'd love to have you. We got a missions trip coming up in June, Lord willing. We'll see what COVID allows. But Lord willing, we're going to take a missions trip in June. If you want more information about that, talk to me later. But I remember we'd have people come to South America, and we would constantly remind them of some cultural things, some do's, don'ts, and what would take place. There's one place that's called Siglo XX Avellino. And that's where it's an open air market, and they got all these people selling stuff on the side of the streets, and on some of these carts you see some of the most attractive things. I'm talking nice stuff. You'll find Rolexes, and you'll find Oakley sunglasses, and you'll find all of these things just sitting out. I'm talking like a $10,000 watch, $20,000 watch, just sitting on the side of the road. And $200 pair of sunglasses, of course we know, those are counterfeit. You're always telling the people, hey, watch out for the counterfeits. Hey, and what you'll do many times is you'll go over and you'll look at those counterfeits, and it's like, man, that thing is nice. And then you put it on, next thing you know, you pull it out your wallet. And it's like you've fallen for the counterfeit because it feels good. It looks good. It's like, wow, this is as close to the real thing as possible. But what happens? 3 weeks later, they're broken, and you're left empty-handed. And that, unfortunately, is the state of the church in a lot of places around the world. We've fallen for the counterfeits of God as Satan. We've forgotten the good fight. We've forgotten what the good fight is. There's a good fight. There's a lot of counterfeits. There is a good fight. What is the good fight? What is the good fight? Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. In chapter number 1, I want you to write this down. I want you to remember this. Satan is masterful. Remember, they say you got to have 10,000 hours at something to be a professional. To be a master, that you get to the master level if you put in 10,000 hours. Well, Satan has about 10,000 years. So unless you put these things down, you're destined to forget them. So I want to encourage you to write some of these things down this morning. It helps to write things down. So I want to tell you what the good fight is. And Paul is reminding Timothy. The good fight is this. Equipping godly men for the work of the ministry. Equipping godly men. O man of God. This is addressed to the man of God. This book is addressed to Timothy. But don't think for a minute, Mama, that you're not important. Timothy, if you recall, Timothy didn't... the Bible doesn't speak at all about his daddy. It doesn't speak at all about his daddy. It speaks about a grandmother. It speaks about a faithful grandmother. It speaks about a faithful mother who faithfully invested in a young man's life, and then the God of heaven all of a sudden brought a man into his life, and this man began to disciple him by the name of the Apostle Paul. And I want to tell you that the good fight is this. The good fight is equipping godly men for the work of the ministry. That's what we need. We need godly men for the work of the ministry. And everybody has a part in that. Every single one of us are members working together for the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel is going to happen through local churches, through preaching the gospel. Godly men working in the ministry. Oh, man of God, this is the man's responsibility. It doesn't mean mamas and grandmothers aren't important. Timothy had doctrine. He had right doctrine. That is a good fight. The good fight is right doctrine. The problem within this church ultimately was bad doctrine. Chapter number 1, verse number 3, he left him there. He besought who? Now, I don't know if you've ever really thought about that, but he besought Timothy. What does that tell you? Well, there's probably a lack of men. He besought Timothy. Why? Because he had 35 guys standing next to him? 35 men? 35 men who are... You don't beg somebody when you got 50 others standing beside them. It's because he was available. It's because he was what was there. Paul has got a call, and he's got to go to Macedonia, and he's got to continue to preach the gospel, and he's there in Ephesus, and there's this tremendous work that needs to be done, but there's no men. There's one guy there. This Timothy is there. He's beseeching Timothy. He said, I beseech thee, Timothy. Well, Timothy was that man. Timothy was the man for the moment. Timothy was the man that met the qualifications. There's bad doctrine within this church. Terrible doctrine. That's what he says in verse number 3. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Doctrine is vitally, vitally important for this fight that we're in, because ultimately the fight is this, creating godly men and women. That is the fight. The fight is creating godly men. From the very beginning of time, here on earth, man, the image of God in man was marred. We were created in the image of, or Adam was created in the image of God, but man, Adam messed up. Sin came into the world and death by sin. And the God of heaven looked down and saw this death that passed upon all men, and he had compassion. And he wanted to save man who was lost and undone and in their sin. And he wanted to have fellowship. That's the God of the Bible. He's not a bad guy. The God of the Bible wants to have companionship. He wants to have reconciliation with man. And the only way to get reconciliation with man is to make him godly. To make him into the image of his Son. And from the beginning of time, the God of heaven wanted this reconciliation to take place. And he's wanting this to take place. And the instrument today through which he does that is the church. And this church had bad doctrine. These people were standing up. They were professing things. They didn't know what they were talking about. And I mean, these men, they were able to quote Scripture. Let me tell you, they knew some of them knew the whole Torah, the whole Old Testament, by memory. In verse number 7, it says, look at this, designed to be teachers of the law, understand neither whereof
neither what they say nor whereof they affirm.
He says, they're trying to teach the law, but they don't understand the purpose of the law. They're trying to get people to obey the law. They don't understand that law wasn't given to obey. It's not given you can't obey it. It was given as a schoolmaster. It was given as a tutor. It was given like a mirror. The law, the God of heaven gave you the law, gave them the law, so that we could see our sinful condition before Him. So He could make a reconciliation with Him through His way. And His way, and His truth, and His life is the only way to get that reconciliation. Not through any of man's way. These people were standing up and they were teaching man's way. Man's way is all about doing works. You think you can do something to get yourself right with God. God's way is by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because all boasting goes to Jesus Christ, who laid down His life so that you could have reconciliation with God. And these people were standing up, they didn't understand Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 24, that law was our schoolmaster, our tutor, to take us to Christ, that we might be reconciled. And I'm paraphrasing here because I'm used to preaching in another language. He says, whereof the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So you can have justification. You can be made right. You can have a right standing with the God of heaven by trusting in His way. And these people were standing up, they had no idea what they were talking about. They had no idea what they were talking about. The pulpit was full of people, of ungodly men. Of ungodly men. The fight is, a good fight is equipping godly men for the work of the ministry. Timothy was there and available. What do you need to be used of God? Available. You need to be, you need to be a godly person. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you need to be available. That's what it takes. You need to know Jesus. You need to be a person. Here, I'll teach you one more also word today. I don't know if I've taught you any just yet, but this is a hard one. Ongongenakumangalaleka. It's only about 20-something letters. Ongongenakumangalaleka. Ongongenakumangalaleka. That's one of the requirements for being used. But being used of God. And it's over in chapter number 3, and it very much summarizes the whole chapter. It's one little word in English. But in Hosea, it's like one big word. Blameless. God wants to make you blameless. He wants to make me blameless. He's made me blameless. I was a drunk. I was no better than any of those people you saw on there. But the God of heaven has made me into that man. Make you into it. Now are you available? Oh, man of God, are you available? Are you personally available? The God of heaven has done a miracle. He's saved you. He has a work for you. He didn't just save you to save you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, verse number 10. You are now His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto something, unto some good works. Oh, man of God, are you equipping godly men for the work of the ministry? All of these things within this book, they were happening. They were real issues. They're still happening today, by the way. They may be camouflaged a little bit better, but in some places they're not even camouflaged. These women began to usurp authority. You know why the women began to usurp authority? My opinion, men weren't standing up. You go to Africa, in the United States. Oh, man of God, where are you? Oh, man of God. We can criticize these other churches, criticize all these doctrines and all these bad things. Oh, man of God. The good fight is equipping godly men for the work of the ministry. This is where people are going to come and hear truth. This place, we are the pillar and ground of truth. That's what Paul said to Timothy. But I tarry long. These things write I unto you, that you remember to stay in this good fight, that you remember that this is the pillar and ground of truth, the church of Jesus Christ, the true church of Jesus Christ. And there are many counterfeits. There are all kinds of things that are going to attract you. Let me tell you, they're attractive. There are all kinds of counterfeits. The church is getting swallowed up by all kinds of good things. But there's really only one good fight.
The good fight is equipping men for the work of the ministry. The good fight is equipping men for the work of the ministry. Very quickly, I told you we were going to go through the whole book. I don't think we're going to make it. Not even close. But I'm going to give you one more thing real quick, and then we're going to close. The good fight is equipping men for the work of the ministry, and the good fight is encouraging them to continue exercising themselves in the godliness. That's the purpose here. In chapter number 4, verse number 7, he says, put them in remembrance in verse number 6. In verse number 7, he says, refuse certain things, profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather in the godliness. Exercise, there's an 8-letter cuss word. Exercise, right?
Man, that's...
I try to stay faithful to it. I'll tell you one thing about exercising, though. If you don't stay faithful to it, man, it's always torturous. It's always torturous. If people are like, man, I hate exercising. But there comes a point, honestly, because I exercise a little bit. There comes a point where you get over this little hump a little bit and you kind of like it on occasion. Believe it or not. I didn't believe it. And especially if you talk to these runners and things like this, they actually enjoy that. I don't know how they enjoy it. But they got over that hump and they stayed in it. But if you stop, man, you're going to have to go over that hump again. And exercising, brethren, the Bible commands us, exercise thyself unto righteousness. Exercise yourself unto righteousness, unto holiness. Exercise yourself unto righteousness. It's difficult. There's no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to exercising yourself unto righteousness. And let me tell you, if you don't, you're going to get knocked out. You're going to get knocked out of the good fight. If you don't exercise yourself unto righteousness, you will get knocked out of the good fight. No, you may fill the seat of a pew, but if you're not actively exercising yourself in righteousness, you are destined to fall for a counterfeit. You're going to fall for a counterfeit unless you... And I want to give you 4 exercises and I'm quitting. My time's passed. Very quickly, I'm just going to point these out to you and we're going to close with a word of invitation. All right? 4 exercises, very quickly. Verse number 5. Now, he's talking about context here. I don't have time to explain it, but verse number 5, he says, For it is sanctified by the word and the word of God and prayer. So he's talking about some things that they were teaching within that church that were ungodly. Getting married and eating meat. Praise God, that's not true. I love my wife and I love food. And I love meat. But you sanctify everything by word and prayer. Here's your first exercise. Every single thing you do, compare it to Scripture. Everything you do, sanctify it by the word of God. You go to the Word of God, if it doesn't contradict the Word of God, you go to the Holy Spirit. You go to prayer. Just because the Word of God doesn't condemn it, doesn't mean it's something you ought to do. So then you go to the Holy Spirit. God has given you a conscience. These people had gone against their conscience. They had seared their conscience with hot iron. The God of heaven has blessed you to have His Word in your language for some odd reason. So you use the Word of God. God has given you His ways, His truths, His precepts, His light. And so you sanctify your deeds through the Word of God and through prayer. Number 2, very quickly, we're going to believe every single word is true, even though we may not understand it. Within our modern society, women ought not to usurp authority. Huh? What? Later on he's going to talk about, you go ahead and go over there, slaves and masters. You've got to understand some context there. It's not at all condemning or condoning. I don't have time to go into it. But you got to believe every word. Verse number 9 says this. This is a faithful saying. He's talking about these words right here within this context. But I want to tell you, every word of God is faithful saying. Every single one of them. All Scripture, he's going to tell them in the next book, all Scripture is God-breathed, is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Why? The next verse, that you'd do something with it. That you'd be equipped in the good works. There's paraphrased again. Verse number 11. So we're going to sanctify everything we do. Every single thing we do in this life, we're going to take it and we're going to compare it with Scripture and we're going to pray about it. And then we're going to believe all that Scripture, even though we may not understand exactly what it says. You didn't understand baptism when you got baptized completely. You didn't understand hardly any step of faith that you took completely. And so we got to remember that even when we get older in the faith, we're still commanded to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. So we're going to sanctify. We're going to believe every word of God is true, even though we may not completely understand it. Verse number 11. These things command and teach. O man of God, where's your disciples? I ain't talking about just your kids. O man of God, who are you consistently giving these things that you're getting to? You will be in the wrong fight. You think, I don't need, God that made me a disciple maker. Well, you ain't a follower of Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus. Because we're followers of Jesus in His steps. And we've been blessed to be a blessing. Oh, man of God, who are you blessing? Who are you committing these things to? Change the conversation around the dinner table. Begin to instill these truths in, first and foremost, those that are closest to you, and then find some more. Verse number 13. Here's another fourth exercise. Till I come, give attention. Give attention to what? Reading. Read, read, read the Scriptures. Read exhortation and the doctrine. Read, read, read. Read out loud. Read out loud. When you do your devotions, when you sit down in the morning, make sure your kids, first and foremost, grandkids, whoever's around you, make sure they hear God's Word. Read it out loud. I mean, when you sit down, read it out loud. You know they ain't reading the Bible. Where are they going to hear it? Do you think we're going to undo what school does in 25 hours and 2 to 3 hours in a pulpit? Read the Scriptures. Read, read, read. It's our responsibility. Oh, man of God, read the Scriptures. Read them out loud. Read. Meditate on them. Read the Scriptures. Number 5, and I quit. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given in thee by prophecy, which by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. This is the final one. This is the danger of this time in which we live. Don't fall for it. We need each other. Use your gift in the church. Church is to assemble. I know our times are crazy right now. I understand. I tread softly, lightly. But Satan wants to divide and conquer. He wants to get those little... I mean, where I live in Africa, you know. You get a little animal on the outside of that pack. He'd be home. How many people have we lost because of COVID? And I ain't talking about death. I'm talking about they don't come to church anymore. Why? They got separated. Satan's clever. Use your gift in the church. You should be able to recall your gift. How God is using you. If you're a member of the body of Christ, what member are you? What member are you? What are you doing? There's a place back there that needs a worker. There's a thousand places around here your pastor could put you to work. Use your gift and your calling for the furtherance of the gospel. The God of heaven has blessed you with truth. I know these things. I'm stepping on feet here, but the God of heaven has blessed us with spiritual truths. And He's given us gifts. And you're a member, and God has blessed you with a gift. And God, thank you for your gifts. But help me to use them for the furtherance of the gospel. Let me remind you, as Paul was reminding Timothy here, you're not going to stay in the good fight. You're not going to stay in the good fight. Oh, you'll be in a fight, maybe. And it may look spiritual. It may look spiritual, but you're not going to be in the good fight. You're not going to be in the good fight unless you begin to exercise yourself into godliness. You'll be like those Oakley glasses. And in the end, you'll be left with empty hands. Paul didn't want this for that church at Ephesus. I don't want that for this church. I don't want that for anybody that I know. I don't want anybody to be duped by Satan. Nobody does. And so we look at these sweet reminders that God has given us in a language we can understand. And we praise the God of heaven for what He's done. For what He's given us. He's given us His precepts, His laws, His ways. So what are we going to do with them? Oh, man of God, what fight are you in? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank You for Your truths.
I thank you for giving them to me. Who am I to have them? I'm nobody. Jesus is everybody. Thank you for the life you've given me. Help me to live it now. God, use the words that I've spoken to encourage your people. In Christ's name I pray. Pastor.